Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, DIY Pandemic Paranormal Investigation, a conversation with Vinnie Carbone. Vinnie Carbone has been a paranormal investigator for several years. In a time and place during the COVID-19 pandemic where investigators and exorcists are not able to visit a home, has paranormal activity increased? Are the spirits more active now than in other recent points in history? Today, we discuss this and more on The Grave Talks.
Well, I think there's several ways to answer that.
Yeah.
For one, as a paranormal consumer, meaning someone who watches paranormal shows or studies this topic, I think naturally, unless they have the job where they are a frontline worker or, you know, someone has to be out of the house every day, I think now more than ever, they're going to be consuming this content, whether it be TV shows or just articles or anything, you know, books, anything mm-hmm. that's in order online, your podcast. So that's one way. I think it's going to naturally pique another interest in it. I think from this perspective of an investigator such as myself, it really has put a dampen on actually getting out there and investigating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the last couple of months, I have done a little bit of traveling back upstate New York and around here in New York City. And just getting into locations is, damn near impossible now. And understandably so. You know, there's so many precautions that have to be taken, of course, with sanitizing everything. So it's just because at a certain point, they just say, you know what, we just got to stay closed.
Sure.
Let's see what else. As far as
in terms of like, you know, the activity of what's going on out there, do you feel obviously like these are what we're talking about there, what you had just mentioned, kind of escapism, people just trying to take a break from reality, and ghost stories happen to be less scary than reality right now in many cases. And investigators having difficulty getting out there. Those are all things that, of course, affect us, the living, and how we're dealing and coping. But what's your thoughts? What are your feelings on the actual activity itself that's going on out there, whether or not it can be investigated or not? Are we seeing, and this is just an opinion, but I'm curious because I've heard many people say different things about this. So I'm curious on your take. Are we seeing an increase in activities out there in haunted locations? Are we seeing a decrease? Are we seeing an increase simply because more people are staying put in specific locations for longer periods of time, which then in turn allows them to experience more than they normally would? What are your thoughts on it from that angle?
Right. I think we might see an increase in activity simply because we are being physically forced to stay in one location. So if you happen to live in a haunted location, obviously you're going to be spending more hours in your home. You're going to notice that more. That also being said, I do believe that when it comes to intelligent hauntings, that being hauntings that directly interact with requests of the investigator or try to interact with the people, the living people in that location, you might see a decrease in that because I would say that they would thrive on interaction, on someone trying to make direct contact with them. And when that's not happening, that kind of will fade away for a little bit. In my experience, working at a historic, haunted mansion, when we would move furniture from room to room or take it out of a room, after a couple of months of that room being empty, we would actually start to see a decrease in activity. So there might be some correlation there.
Yeah, it's just such an interesting topic right now with, okay, how does this affect that world? This is another question I have, and it's almost kind of like, this is our how-to portion of the program, but it's an interesting one because the inability right now of many people to get out of their homes or to go and investigate or to do more so than investigation, but people going out and actively trying to help people rid their homes of whatever activity is troubling them beyond just the investigation. And yes, we have something here, but you want it gone. So we're going to bring in X person and that person's going to do this or that. When that's kind of out of the equation for many people right now, and they're sitting there more than they would in a home, and I'm sure there's somebody listening to this right now that's in that situation going, what the hell? You know, I used to hear that, you know, people would line up to come and look at this, and then you got to try and decipher who's viable or not. What can someone do who's in their home? And obviously it's situational to the depth of what is going on. But somebody who's having something going on in their home that they believe is paranormal, is troubling them, hearing things, seeing things. We'll keep it at that. Obviously, it can get pretty deep from there. What can one do within their own powers if there's no one there to call? There's no investigators that can come out. There's no mediums. There's no people who can help anything, you know, transfer on or move to another side. You're kind of stuck with your own means. What advice would you have for anyone who's feeling that right now?
Well, there's a few very simple things that they can do off the bat. Number one is realize and remember that it's your house now. That doesn't mean you have to be disrespectful, but it just means that in a very respectful and peaceful way, you can acknowledge and you can, you know, share with them however you choose to do so. That this is your home, that you acknowledge that they exist, that they are valid, that they were there, but now their time has come and gone, and now your time to be there and make it a home has come. So that's number one. Just remember that you're not intruding. You have every right to be there as much as they did when it was their time. Secondly, most importantly, I think, do not play with a Ouija board. And Tony, you know, I know you're a big advocate for Ouija awareness and safety. But I would say don't do that. That's like giving a loaded gun to a child. It has a lot of potential harm. Someone who knows what they're doing with it, maybe, but I would say just the average person, don't touch it. Just don't even explore that. Okay. And lastly, in the absence of a trained veteran investigator coming in and trying to take stock of what's going on here, I would say do your own research. You know, go online, read a lot. Maybe don't subscribe to everything that you see on TV, on these shows as the truth or how to conduct an investigation. But I would say definitely try to learn about what you're dealing with, you know, and take it from there. And then in doing that, in learning and reading different articles and stuff like that, you're going to see what's comfortable, what's organic, and what's comfortable for you. I say that if you do those three things, you might be okay. You're gonna start to have an easier existence in that location if it is a hostile and haunted. Which,
sure,
you know, my experience is that most times it's not. It's just you know, you're experiencing these things and say, hey, you know, I kind of want to understand this a little bit more.
If it's a hostile type haunting, essentially, are all those rules out the window, or all those best practices kind of out the window?
I'd say still maintain with trying to learn. Do not use a Ouija, and you know, respect and understand that it's now your home. Mm-hmm. And then you're gonna have to get a little tough with it. I'd say, don't threaten, don't antagonize, but just say, hey, you know, it's enough's enough. You could do a couple of EVP sessions to try to understand who you're talking to, if you get any responses. Set up some cameras if you got them. See where the hot spots in the location are. but just it's going to be a whole lot of trial and error.
Is there, there's a couple of things I want to unpack there that you just said. Let's go back to the first one before we get ahead of ourselves. Validating their existence. I mean, that to me has been one of the most surprising things I've heard over the years on this show. But I believe it of just simply saying, hey, look, I know you're here. I'm here, too. This is my house now. We can live together peacefully, but please don't freak me out or freak my kids out or whatever. And quite right. often that works, surprisingly, but it does. But there are cases where sometimes you hear the idea of, well, validating their existence can at times then increase the activity, no matter what your request is of, hey, let's keep it, you know, on the down low. Sometimes it's like, oh, they can see and hear me. I don't care that they don't want to, but I'm going to stick around and make myself known. Is there any risk in going down that path of saying, yeah, I know you're here? Or, you know, I mean, it's probably more of a game of percentages. And if you're trying to just, you know, do your best of how to handle this alone right now, what's your thoughts on those risks there?
Well, what I always say is that we often forget that ghosts are the remnants of human beings, and human beings are not one-dimensional creatures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever their personality may have been in life, it's going to be reflected in that in depth. So, it depends on who you're dealing with. If you are dealing with someone who just wants acknowledgement and then they can move on, that's fine. If you're dealing with someone who, you know, loves attention, then they might stick around a little. It really is a matter, like you said, of percentages. It kind of goes back to this thing that I've heard at lectures and stuff like that, where people will ask, well, how do you get rid of a ghost? And my first question is, well, you know, why do you want to get rid of a ghost? Now, granted, not everyone wants to live in a haunted house, and I don't know if I necessarily would want to live in a haunted house. But there's this idea that ghosts are like insects, that if you have them, you have to try to get rid of them. And it's interesting as to why we want to do that. But that's a whole other topic we can get onto.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing of it is that, to be perfectly honest, in my opinion, I don't really know if you can get rid of a ghost until they're ready. You know, they might need validation. They might need that acknowledgement. They might need that someone to say, hey, you're dead. It's over. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... I don't know if there's one surefire way that you do steps 1, 2, 3, and then they're going to be gone. I think it's, if it's something you, if you feel the need to really rid your home of a spirit, it may not be as easy as Hollywood, or the books make it seem like, but there's certainly, as we said, there's certainly things you can do to, one, become comfortable with the idea, and then two, possibly begin the process of vacating them.
Could we be entering a time period here where a lot of people are going to try and do their own DIY on this? And I mean, everyone at some point when they get into the paranormal, if they go into the world of investigating, is going to be new to it. Oftentimes, though, in the past, they would have had groups they could get into and learn from others. Of course, online, you can learn, too. It doesn't completely isolate you from it, but there is something certainly to be said about true real world experience versus watching videos or just reading up on things or being part of a thread on a Facebook group. Are we setting ourselves up? Are we going to be in a place here once the pandemic has calmed itself down to an area where things are kind of semblance back to what we used to know as normal or whatever our new normal is, where people are able to go out again, where people have done so many bad practices or incorrect practices that there's going to be investigators really walking into stuff that really would have been a simple, okay, here's some solutions, but because it was stirred up incorrectly with someone inadvertently not knowing what they were doing, made things far worse than it needed to be. Is that going to be an issue, you think?
Unfortunately, I do think that that's a very strong possibility. And I think that that goes across the board for, you know, a lot of different hobbies, topics,
sure,
vocations. And that's because, quite simply, we've never before lived lived in a society with access and proximity to technology and to social media and to literature. And that's, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.